In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. Are any of you students of the cinema? It's always struck me that summertime, and particularly the hottest days, are an excellent time to go and see a movie. And I had intended to go and see Dick Tracy until a colleague warned me that that would neither be suitable or godly, inasmuch as Madonna stars in it. Well, whatever the lack of art in many movies, there are still moments of brilliance. And one movie that you wouldn't want to go far at all to see, Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, had one beautiful, telling moment when he was riding a horse as a future survivor in a long-off era along the sands and shores of New York, and there, out of the sands, emerged an arm and torch of the Statue of Liberty. It was a reminder about how passing civilizations are. And it's especially telling because Colossae is like that today. It once was a great and marvelous city. Herodotus had praised it. Pliny had eulogized it. Xenophon had talked about going through its great precincts. And even in Paul's day, it was beginning to decline. The commerce had begun to move over to Laodicea and to Hierapolis. And today, it stands as a grass-covered knoll in central Turkey, completely without any of its past glory. And yet there was a church there at Colossae. It was probably founded by Epaphras, whom Paul had brought the gospel to in Ephesus. And as that church took root, it faced especially two challenges. On the one hand, there emerged a rigorous asceticism that had all sorts of imperatives. Don't handle, don't touch, don't taste. Probably don't go see Dick Tracy. But on the other hand, along with that asceticism, there was actually a diminution of Christ's deity. Christ was increasingly viewed as only one of a number of heavenly beings who had to be approached if life was to be controlled. His preeminence, his full divinity, was challenged. And in such a setting, Paul lays before us the text for today, where he urges, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, long-suffering, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's easy to look at that text and to see what some exegetes see, namely a typical string of imperatives and admonitions. In fact, not a few have found certain parallels in the Greek philosophers. But that would be taking the text in a diametrically opposite direction to that which Paul takes it. For if we look a little farther, we find out that what he is urging isn't the virtuous life per se, but he is urging that life which is in Christ, in Christo. He goes on and says, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. And a bit earlier, he has this to say, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Christ is all sufficient. Our walk in the Christian life is a continual walk back to our baptism, back to our identity as those who are in Christ. Christ does not start us on a journey that then we carry on by ourselves, but rather we daily return and remind ourselves of who we are by his grace, and then live that grace out through his good gifts. As Luther put it so pointedly, daily this old Adam is to be destroyed and drowned, and the new man or woman come forth in Christ. Paul's admonitions to be imitators of him in Colossae are immediately followed by the phrase, as I am of Christ. Christ has made us his own. We display in our compassion, in our kindness, not our virtue, but the presence of Christ with his people in word and sacrament. Our life does not flow from a superior spirituality, but from his grace, continually working through the gospel and the sacraments. Now, how can this be practically applied? And as I looked at the text and saw that word long-suffering, I thought of those who have been learning sign through these hot weeks, of those who have been learning Greek in particular, but also Hebrew, and now those who come to learn the fine points of organ. You'll probably have some opportunity to display patience and long-suffering. In this heat, perhaps even a little forgiveness toward one another. But in all those displays, it is really Christ who is being confessed. It is he who guides us in our daily walk, not ethical principles, but we have been made by him apple trees, bearing forth apples that flow from our identity in him. In fact, I've always appreciated a Texas pastor who one day visited our campus as a part of an outstanding pastor's program. His church was flourishing and everyone wanted to know, how did you do it? And his suggestion was that the real anchor of his ministry, that which made his ministry what it was the fact that each day as his toes touched the floor, he repeated aloud to himself and lit a candle the phrase, I am baptized, and then recited the creed. Whatever our days are filled with, let us begin them with a full awareness that we, by God's grace, have been baptized into Christ. And thus, learning music, learning vocables, learning songs flow from who we are in him, so that they, each in their own way, might glorify him and hold up Christ crucified. May God grant us, by his grace, such full sufficiency in Christ. Amen.